In this new year, we have launched a series that we've titled Greater Things, God-Sized Expectations for a New Year. And we have talked about greater endurance last Sunday. And I just appreciate everyone's encouraging feedback of how God really moved and spoke powerfully to both young and old here at Trinity. And so that was a wonderful opportunity to address a very important topic that God has put on my heart from almost the first Sunday that we got here. Today we want to talk about greater power. Exodus 17, 8 through 16 is our text. It's from the Old Testament. It is an event that took place in the history of the nation of Israel after they experienced some of God's greatest miracles human beings have ever experienced, of deliverance out of slavery and bondage, and traveling through the wilderness, being at the Red Sea, seeing that part. I mean, could you imagine experiencing all those things with your eyes, your ears? Unbelievable. And then to even be fed manna from heaven. Talk about a powerful meal. And here we are at the beginning of them entering into the promised land. I'll go ahead and read this. We'll pray and we'll jump right in. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one to one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." This is God's word. Will you bow your heads with me for a brief moment of prayer? We're humbled, Lord, by the gracious invitation this morning to gather together as a church family and friends and community, and to hear from you and to experience you and lift up our minds, thoughts, and hearts in worship and song and praise. What a privilege, Lord. And so, Father, as we do gather together today, still in the early part of this 2020 new year, I pray as the one who would want to value power. I pull in you and achievement. Let us not forget, Lord, the importance of being empowered to do those things. So speak to us, we pray. Thank you for the honor and privilege, the freedom to worship in your house. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Greater power. I'll talk about four things this morning. You need a greater power in your life to fight your battles. Secondly, there is a spiritual battle behind the physical ones in our lives. Thirdly, worship and prayer are our God-given superpowers. And fourthly and finally, the local church is the central place of battle. As you begin this new year, and already we're headed toward February, none of us on December 31st said, "I want to be a weakling, a wimp, and I want to struggle in this new year." None of us. Anyone have that as a New Year's resolution? I want to be defeated this year. No one. We all want a significant year. We want a great year. And whatever language you want to use, of blessing and prosperity or whatever. You want it to be a great year. This year, through the urging of my wife and also my mom, they encouraged me to start daily taking a weird powder full of turmeric and beef bone broth. So every morning I'm mixing this with this powdered greens, with a little almond milk, and trying to get a little bit healthier, a little bit stronger. It tastes still very nasty. Very nasty. I hold my breath, but I get a little more gassy, to be honest, but also at the same time, I think I'm feeling a little bit stronger. After taking a break from running, which I used to love to do after two knee surgeries, I started running again, and I'm feeling better. I'm feeling stronger. And all of you, in some manner, you're trying to find more power in your life, are you not? Whether you're trying to get healthier, or new exercise regimen, reading some self-help books, or listening to a blog or a podcast, whatever it might be, we're all always trying to experience a little bit of greater power and strength. And that's a good thing. But let us keep in mind that as you try to find more power in your life, that we are reminded of the one who is the true all-powerful one. And God wanted to reveal himself in a very significant way to his people, the Israelites, who, you think about it, to be delivered out of slavery and bondage, to see the 10 plagues. Could you imagine? Was it 10 or 12 plagues? 12, all right. Just seeing if you're awake. Being delivered through walls of water as the sea parted. Manna falling. I mean, think about what the Israelites experienced. Imagine if you were there, and imagine if you had your iPhone and you could videotape and then show people what that is. I mean, it is unbelievable if someone were to have captured that, and even then it wouldn't do justice to a great demonstration of God's miraculous power. But even with that, the Israelites soon forgot who God is in their lives. Because we are a people that are plagued with spiritual amnesia. We need to encounter the living God over and over and over again. And that theme of remember, remember, remember is God's cry to his people over and over again. You need, first of all, a greater power in your life to fight your battles in this new year. And that's our first point. You need a greater power in your life to fight your battles. After experiencing such miraculous demonstration and deliverance, the Jewish people, they thought everything was going to be fine. The promised land was right before them. And here an ancient enemy comes, actually related to the Israelites, the Amalekites. They came and attacked them. This is no animation or some kind of cute little squabble. They're coming out with weapons of war to destroy the Israelites. If we were to see this, we would probably flee for our lives. With battle-hardened warriors, swords, spears, arrows, weapons of destruction to maim, to kill, and destroy other human beings. Imagine what that would have been like. And God wanted to show his people that they need a greater power in their lives than just their abilities in and of themselves. And so the Israelites would learn a very powerful lesson that no matter how strong and all the young men fighting with Joshua in the valley below, no matter what kind of skills, and probably they needed a lot of help in this area because they were slaves for centuries, and here they are in this first battle forward to take over the promised land. They would experience a great need for power to fight this battle. And I think the question as we begin this new year is, whether you have been churched your whole life or not, who or what is your greater power in your life? Functionally, practically, who or what is your greater power? And so often, even as God's people, we turn inward, we turn to ourselves. Find that greater power within you. As you envision it, as you dream it, as you put your mind to it, and we can accomplish a lot of things, yes. But is that the only way by which you try to find this greater power in your life? For a lot of us, we often do, rather than get down on our knees and cry out to the living God to help us. Who or what is your greater power? My kids and I, we are crazy, mad Star Wars fans. We watch something like that, and we see Rey using the Force. We often think that maybe that's how you find the greater power. Somehow there's a secret training that you need to have as a Jedi Master, and there's some Force out there. We're not sure what it is, but if you can somehow tap into that Force, you can have it do your will, hopefully for good things. We often have this type of understanding about how you gain power in your life. For others, it's purely by luck or good fortune. Throw enough seed out there, hopefully enough will get scattered. One or two will land in a place where you can get rich, you can get powerful, you can find a better job, whatever it might be. We live like this. We're no different than the Israelites. Some of us know that religion is a good thing and we press ourselves into it. But often, even in our religious pursuits, we have to really ask ourselves, is it really the God of the Bible and the faith of the Bible that we are trying to pursue in our lives? Sociologist Christian Smith and Melinda Denton recently came out with a groundbreaking study as they looked at the younger generation of, and especially youth group kids raised in the church today. They came with a shocking discovery that what kids and young people, and I believe it applies to us who are older, our understanding of faith is not really biblical. They named it MTD, Moralistic Therapeutic Deism. It is a religion where we take a little bit of the Bible, we acknowledge that God is a cosmic therapist out there. He's like a divine butler, ready to help out when needed. He exists, but isn't really part of our lives, doesn't really care, isn't really personal. That's the deism part. We're supposed to be good, kind people, doing good to others, follow the golden rule, and hopefully we can make the world a better place. MTD, Moralistic Therapeutic Deism. And often we think that as long as we're doing good, that is our power in our life. We're not hurting anyone, we're not killing anyone, we're not committing crimes, we have a little bit of religion, I'm a good person, so why can't I have a better life and more power to accomplish the things that I would like to do? Where is, or what is, your source of greater power in your life? And over again, God is trying to teach his people, look to me. I am your greater power. I am the greatest power. And sometimes he teaches us in the midst of a terrible battle and challenge for the Israelites. Our lives were literally at stake when the enemies came, the Amalekites, to chase them out of their homeland, which was actually the promised land that God was giving his people. Is your source of power in this new year yourself, your wits, your experience, your talent, your health? Is it like the Force in Star Wars that hopefully you can connect with that greater divine power out there? Is it good luck or fortune, the luck of the draw? Is it being a little bit more religious and being a kinder, better person that you feel gives you power in your life? Or is your power found in the God of the Bible? A crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ, risen Lord, who conquered sin and death. Where is your power in your life as you begin a new year? That is the question we ask ourselves as we begin. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Verse 10, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. We realize as we see this battle taking place, a bloody battle where men are being killed and cut down by sword, it would be a horrific scene, a real battle, not some kind of animation that's going on here or a fairy tale children's Bible story. We're reminded, and what God is trying to teach his people is that there, secondly, is a spiritual battle behind the physical one. This doesn't mean we over-spiritualize everything and see a demon behind every tree and shadow and get spooked out, like the boogeyman stories or scary stories that we grew up with and we hear. But if this is true, as we see the army battling on the field while Moses, Aaron, and Hur go to the top of the hill with Moses' hands outstretched, directly connected to what is happening in the valley below, God is trying to remind his people, yes, there is a physical reality that we live, we breathe, we fight, we run, but don't forget the greater spiritual realities as well. And we here in the West are very good at forgetting about the spiritual. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. We live only in the physical. We would do well to be reminded that the battle is fought always on two fronts, in the physical as well as the spiritual. Both are important, and often people err on one or the other side, but both are incredibly important. If you only live in the spiritual, and you neglect your lives in the real world, that's an error. But if you only live in the physical and you barely are aware of the greater spiritual realities that we live in, that we have been called to live in as God's redeemed kingdom people, Christianity is much more than just a religion to feel good about yourself and to do good and be kinder, nicer. Yes, we are those things, but it is so much more. Let us not forget the greater battle that we fight in. And God's people, as they would fight this battle, and as Moses climbed to the top of that hill and lifted up his hands toward heaven above, we see that physical reality between the physical battle and the spiritual one fought side by side to determine the outcome of the lives of God's people, the Israelites. There was an equally important battle taking place at the top of the mountain with Moses' hand stretched out to the heavens, as well as those swinging the sword, defending their families, fighting a real fight. Forget one or the other, and we will be in big trouble. Kathy reminded me of this on our way home from church last Sunday. I felt a very significant service we had. The youth led our worship so powerfully. I shared from my heart and really, I believe, from God's Spirit a message about that intergenerational importance to see us as a church continue to endure to the next generation. It was one of those mini mountaintop experiences when you just sense God's presence, and he just overflows out. It was awesome. Because we had one service, we came together, one car in our minivan, and as Kathy and I were just in the glow of the Spirit, we use that description, just so filled and touched by God and so full of joy. And there my kids are duking it out. I love them, and my daughter Ella's here, but duking it out, yelling, screaming, fighting, punching. Wow. Get you so upset, and they did the same thing on the way to church, that battle. And I was just about to lose it and lose all the blessings from that Sunday service with words that I shall not share. And Kathy turned around with deep emotion, said, "Don't you guys know that this is a spiritual battle? As we get ready to go to God's house and as we leave, it's an important time. God's spirit is at work, but the enemy is too. Don't let the devil win. Part of me was kind of laughing, but part of me was also like, you know what? I think she's right. That's a prophetic word. And our kids immediately shut up. So it worked. But there's truth to that, is that not? Anything and everything to distract us from going to God's house and worship. Kids fighting, running late, problems, your temper's flaring, fighting. You leave, soon as the car door shuts to leave, you're back to fighting again. You all know what I'm talking about. We do live in a greater spiritual reality. And as our church envisions pursuing God and his passion for people, not just staying safe and secure in the four walls of this building, we are going to need God's empowerment as we leave the safety and security of an institution and think about what it means to pursue God in a movement of his Holy Spirit. Thirdly, as we continue on in our passage, verse 11, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And when his hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, he sat on it, Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. As they battled it in the valley, here is Moses, arms stretched out. What is he doing? He's in a position of prayer. Which leads us to our third point, that worship and prayer are our God-given superpowers. Not because we know the words and we can pray so eloquently. Not because we just worship for worship's sake. People of all religions worship. People of all different kinds of faith pray. But a biblical worship centered upon the God of the Bible and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his redeeming work on the cross, a Christ crucified and resurrected. When we connect with him through the means of grace of worship and prayer, they become our superpowers. Imagine the burden that Moses felt as he saw his people winning and losing on the battlefield. Literally, their lives were on the line. It was more than just inspiring them. Keep on fighting. It was more than just cheerleading. Exodus 9:29, Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. There we go. What was he doing? He was raising his arms, stretched out to heaven above in a posture of dependent, desperate prayer. And imagine that as he stretched out his arms and began to pray, as he got weary and tired and his hands went down, more of Israelites would be killed. As he kept it raised up, they would be winning. What a powerful way to see how critical fighting spiritually and in the physical realm go hand in hand, are together, and are so important. After this was all done, Moses built an altar and called that the Lord is my banner because my hands were lifted against, or some translations have it, my hands were lifted to the throne of the Lord. Building an altar is always significant in Old Testament. It means to pause, to remember, and to worship. Worship and prayer to the one who is the true superpower of this universe becomes our superpower when we connect with him. As we reminded last year, Robertson McQuilkin, a praying church is a victorious church. A prayerless church is a defeated church, defeated even before the battle begins. And it was John Wesley who spent more than 2 hours a day in prayer, not because he didn't have a lot to do. And he writes, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Desperate people pray. So let us keep that in mind, that as we seek to advance God's kingdom in our lives, through our families, and through our beloved church into our community, yes, we need financial resources. Yes, we need talented and gifted leaders. Yes, we need organized programs and all the opportunities that we have here at Trinity. But let us remember that the engine behind all those things is a heart. It is lives that are filled with the power of God's Spirit, and that takes place through worship and prayer to our God and King. That's how lives are ultimately changed. Greater power comes through a humbling of ourselves to pause and to worship, to stretch out our hands, realizing that lives are on the line, and to cry out to God in desperate prayer. Fourthly and finally, we see here that Moses, he built an altar, verse 15, called it, "The Lord is my banner," because my hands were lifted up or to against the throne of the Lord. I believe that we are reminded that whenever God's people gather together, especially for corporate worship, we are reminded that the local church is the central place of battle. We do our best fighting together, our best praying together, our best worshiping together as one family of faith, one army. The local church is how we do it together. Kevin DeYoung, in a very powerful message he delivered on this passage, gives us some insight about the word banner. It is a military term. It's the signal pole around which the army can be gathered, regathered, and regrouped. Here is our banner in the midst of the fight. If there is a retreat, you come here. When we get our marching order, marching instructions in advance, you gather here. It is ultimately the Lord who is our banner. Amen. And we come to meet him in the most profound and powerful way as one body. That's why the church is called the body of Jesus Christ. We come together under the authority, the headship of Jesus. We meet him. We are filled with him. He is our champion. 2 Corinthians 2, Paul writes in verse 14, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Christus Victor, Latin for Christ the Victor, our champion. The local church is that banner because we point people to the Lord of the banner. And so, what is our attitude toward our gatherings of worship? Is this something we just have to get done? Give me an hour, Pastor, please don't preach too long. I'm hungry. I gotta eat lunch. I have a lot to do. Get it over with. It's like another Saturday. If I don't go, God's not going to bless my week or my business or my family. My kids are taking their SATs. I better be in prayer hard. I better get to church. Their whole future's on the line. Better get to church. Kids are busy. Schedules are there. Weather's not that great. Sun is not shining. I don't have to go. And granted, some of first service people are saying, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry I missed last Sunday." You know, I said, "It's fine. Once in a while, it's all right. We understand." But when we begin to understand the power of corporate worship, the raising of the banner that we do here together as one community, there's no better place I'd rather be. You fight for worship in your life. What a privilege. What an honor, what a feast. I'll do anything and everything to be there and make it, even if I don't feel like it. And there are times, I share with you, there are times where I don't want to go and I have to preach. That's not a good thing. But it's a human thing. We struggle. We're tired. You want to stay under your warm covers during the winter months here in New England. I get it. But when we realize what happens, when we realize what is at stake, we will do anything and everything to break down those walls, to get there, to be with God's people, to rally together, to find strength in worship and prayer to the one who is the true powerful one. I must get myself there. And for any who are still searching, looking for a church home, a community, as youth have reminded us here at Trinity, to finding your people, your tribe. Find one quickly in this new year. It doesn't have to be our church. There are hundreds of great Bible-believing, healthy, dynamic churches. We'd love to have you stay here with us. But if not, that's fine. It's all part of the same kingdom. Don't let 5 months, 5 years, 15 years pass by and you still haven't found a church home. No perfect place. Look at your life. You're not too perfect either. It's a perfect match. Learn to connect daily with the one who is the powerful one, the crucified and risen Christ. I don't always find that time in the morning. I try. It's hard. Our kids all have different times. They got to get to school, and I make breakfast for them, wake them up. I mean, it's just crazy how life hits us, and you have your craziness in your lives too. But I tell you, when one can carve out even 5-10 minutes in quietness, lifting your eyes to the crucified one, a brief reading of scripture to get God's word in your heart, and a time to lift up your heart, say, God, I am weak, I need your help, transforms one's entire day. God is doing some great things here at Trinity as we continue to follow our vision of pursuing him and his passion for people. Our people are mentoring students here at Keeney. We're involved with MAC. I had a chance to visit this past week and eat among the people and see what God is doing and introducing the pastor who spoke the first Sunday, Mike DeStefano, to Beth Stafford. That was such a powerful connection to see happen as God is building his kingdom in our community here in Manchester beyond. Through Alpha last year, our neighbors came to know Christ. Our neighbors being discipled, Lori, by one of our older women at our church, and just Friday night, we got together, invited them over, and she began to share of what God is teaching her and challenging her and talking about assurance of salvation. She's quoting scripture. Life has been changed because of what God is doing here at Trinity. We're so excited about this next Alpha. Kathy already invited another set of neighbors, and they committed to coming. I invited another one. I'm waiting for a response, and we'll invite several others because time is short. The kingdom of God is moving. Let us not let it pass by. What an opportunity. In this new year, I want our church to be recommitted to our superpowers of prayer and worship. The first year, I tried my best to keep everything going, and I got sucked into the vortex of Trinity life and the million meetings a day that we have here, and prayer kind of dwindled out a little bit this past year in 2019. But in 2020, as I believe God is on the move here in our community, in Manchester, here at Trinity, in so many of your lives, we want to once again tap into God's power through the superpowers of prayer and worship. We're going to move as we once again cast a strong vision to get together at least once a month to pray, probably Sunday late afternoons. We'll get more information out as we finalize everything. We're going to restart our quarterly prayer times together of prayer and worship. And during this Lent season, I want us to consider doing a church-wide prayer, dedication, and fasting together from young to old, that we would look at the crucified Christ together as a church body, intergenerationally, one family, casting our eyes upon the one with arms stretched out to heaven above. It's going to be a very powerful Lent season as we get together for Ash Wednesday and celebrate our risen Lord on Easter. Steve Nielsen has agreed to do Da Vinci's Last Supper again, and we're so excited about that as we get to visually see what that upper room scene was like. God is going to do great things in this new year. You need a greater power in your life to fight your battles. Who or what is your greater power? There is a spiritual battle behind the physical one. Let us not forget that as we attempt to follow God in this new vision, to see him move beyond the walls of this church, out into our community. We're lost people, hurting people. Live, breathe, move, who need the love of Christ. Worship and prayer are God-given superpowers, not just one thing we do among many. It is what we do, and everything else flows out of that engine. And the local church is that central place of battle. Do all you can to stay plugged in. Fight for worship in your life. And as you do these things, as you look to the one who is the all-powerful one, our risen Christ, I believe you will experience a greater measure of power as you battle the battles of your life in this new year. Let us pray. Trinity Covenant Church, men, women, young people, and children, we are a blessed bunch. As I think about the talents, the gifts, the education, the talents that are represented by those in this room, I'm blown away sometimes as I'm getting to know many of you more and more. We are an incredibly blessed community with incredibly gifted people. But let us keep in mind that our gifts and strengths and talents can only get us so far. May we be reminded in the early part of this new year in 2020 that you desperately need a greater power in your life. And rather than finding that power in yourself, would you look to the one who indeed conquered sin and death itself? Crucified one who did not stay dead in the grave but rose again to confirm all that he taught was truly true. And the one who is the maker of the heavens and the earth, who spoke words of life to create all that we see ex nihilo, out of nothing. That is true power, my friends. Would you turn your eyes to the one who so wants to fill you with his power by his word and spirit to not only fight your battles, but to have a victorious 2020 in your life? Lord, humble us. Break our pride and our independent spirit. And help us rally to the one as we outstretch our arms to heaven above, individually in the mornings before work and school, as we pray over our children and grandchildren in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And as a church community that is on the move here in Manchester and beyond, Lord, we need your power. And so would you fill us once again, and may we take hold through the superpowers of prayer and worship to connect to the risen one who sits upon the throne. God, we need you. And we need the power that comes from the risen Lord himself. So fill us once again, Father. Remind us once again, it is not by our own might or power, but it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. Fill Trinity Covenant Church once again in this new year in such a way that we know it is your power that is coursing through our veins, our lives, our families, for your glory's sake. Amen.